He will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. Lord, I believe that. I receive it. I'm going to act differently, live another way. I'm going to say a different thing. I'm going to sing a different song. Because I believe it's time. What was hard is going to become easy. What was beyond me is going to become well within my grasp. Where I hurt, I will feel no more pain. Where I've been sad, I will now be glad. Where it hasn't looked too good, it's going to look great. And I will enter into another man's labor and take the reward. It's my set time, Jesus. Hallelujah! 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 We don't always understand. We like to understand. But sometimes we don't understand, folks. Well, you've got to come to peace with that. To try to understand when God doesn't expect you to understand is to get over into the perfection of the flesh. And you're no better off than those folks in the Old Testament, those prophets of Baal who cut themselves and beat themselves and cried out to their gods for answers. And I know none of you are that. Sometimes we don't understand and we have to leave it at that. And leave it in all-wise, all-loving, all-caring God's hands. And as that young lady sung, trust in God. 2016 is the biggest year of our lives. It is a culminating year. It's a year of clearer revelations and open doors. This last week, sometimes when God wants to give me a word, he puts it in me, and it's I know. And then every now and then someone says something on TV or something or other that mention a scripture passage, and it burns right through me. I know that is the prophetic word. Then what I do is I weigh it in light of the direction he's been speaking to me, because I have my diaries. 2016 doesn't have much in it. That's got about 40 pages, but it's not really much when you see how much I sometimes get. Would you turn to Psalm 102? Because I believe it's a direct prophecy. It reveals the burden God's put on my heart, and you've allowed God to put on your hearts from day one. And it also gives hope in the struggle. I liked what Donald Trump said the other day in the debate that everyone took the wrong way, it seems. He said, you've got to be willing to say you're wrong and change. Change doesn't mean to say you're bad or you're a fraud. He says, hey, sometimes you believe something and you see something else, and hey, that's right, I'm changing. And they tried to nail him for that, and I respected him all the more for being that honest. Because I'm amazed how many folks refuse to change. Dang, blang, not changing, and that's the end of that. And I've watched Concordville for 33 years being willing to change and grow. Of course, because God, in one sense, has given me a naive spirit, and in others I don't, I assure you, have one. I just was glad to accept that everyone wanted to change. And I know there are many people who aren't here right now who will be one of these days that went along with the change and saw God enlarge them. You know, when you come to a place of crisis spiritually and God calls upon you to make a change, it's a chance for great growth and great lining up with your destiny. And the funny thing about change, sometimes it's under the most obtuse circumstances. It doesn't always come in a golden package looking like an Easter egg. Sometimes it's an avalanche or a volcano or a tornado taking the top section of your house off. And God wants to see you make an adjustment and make a change. Sometimes it's something someone says that's very powerful or something that actually hurt you. On the other hand, sometimes it's something that's really a blessing and it enlarged you and set you free to let your thinking go beyond. And the moment you let your thinking go beyond, God graduated you to another class. And so I look at direction. As Reverend Earl McAllister said to me in 1968, God doesn't lead you up the garden path there and then drop you. I didn't need any further explanation of that or the will of God for my life. He didn't have to give me details. I could just put an eraser right through, a ruler right through what I'd been going through and how he'd been leading me and stuck it out in front and said, that's where we're headed. Amen. Go right ahead, take your time, dear Lord, let the devil get a migraine over this baby. Thank you. Now, the fact of the matter is, birthed in my heart from day one was to see the glory return to Zion. Zion is always the most attacked place, which is the place that God dwells. Under the law covenant, Zion was always being attacked, and they said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Why? He explains, because Zion is there. God dwells there. And the devil is always attacked where God dwells. Settle it. If God's not attacking, the devil's not attacking, then God doesn't dwell there. Amen. And today, that attacking is in the church. That was the first grand lesson God taught us, was the first grand lesson he began to reveal to me when I was first saved as a teenager and could see practical reasons. So I never was surprised by attack. I just wasn't sure what to do with it. And sometimes when God wants you to make changes, it comes in really shocking forms. You say, yeah, now what? I'm dead. And that's when you have to just say, no, he hasn't changed. I like that portion of Psalm 102 here. You don't have to turn there, where it says that my days are like a shadow that lengthens and I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever. And the remembrance of your name to all generations. And that updates me to what I want to say again. God has always wanted to preserve his name in Zion. And the strong word I received that God has built on all this year, all not being much, seeing we're just in the beginning of March, but nevertheless living day by day, it can be much sometimes. Is now. When I get a word that I write down, God prophesies it through me and I can hear the sound and know the difference between some other thing and this thing. And in this particular word, I remember him laughing. And I can always tell when he's laughing, and sometimes I write down a lot of laughing, sometimes I just write down laughing. I remember him laughing. And then he said, yes, my beloved son, now. And the now was so loud. I mean, I took note of that, and I wiggled underneath it, saying, that was a loud now. Of course, I like loud nows. Right. Especially when you've been through all we've been through for 40 years plus. And then he said, I want you to turn to a scripture. And he told me, and the scripture said, let it be established forever and do as you've said. And I thought, oh, my goodness, Concordance couldn't have done a better job than that. And then he turned to me to Psalm 110:1, and it said, the Lord said, sit. Till I make your enemies your footstool. And I said, wow. Well, he built on that concept on several occasions. I think it's two or three, maybe four, when we visited this year to the date. And so I knew there was a now thing going on, and now is now, and what should I do with now, and how do I deal with now, other than to say, thank God it's now, and that he's doing it. And then he quoted part of a scripture, and I called my wife, look that up for me right now. We were sitting on my bed. And she did. And I want you to look in Psalm 102, verse 13. It says, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion." Yes, the set time has come. And I was reminded that everything God does is in seasons. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "Dear Solomon, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun." And isn't that true? Then he gives you that long list, which I'm not going to read, but when he said to everything, he meant everything. There's a season to grow, season to cry, season to laugh, season to stand still. Everything is seasonal. And one of the great things God has always tried to teach his children is, don't try to outpace your season. Don't look for a harvest in winter. Don't look for a harvest in spring. Plant seed. Don't worry about how long the summer feels to you. Harvest will come. And then you'll have fall when everything can rest. And I say that because I want you to know everything in your life is about timing. And you've heard me say over and over again, geography, timing, and faith are always the key. And I mean that. You've got to be in the right place at the right time and believe in God. Geography, timing, and faith. And you line those things up and the surprises won't be so surprising. Yeah. And the shocks won't be so shocking, which you'll first of all be able to say, wrong season for that. It's not for me. Send it to another address. Or right season, I will receive that. Praise God. But it's all geography, timing, and faith. I mean, we've lived out the principle of 2 Chronicles 20:20b. We have. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Well, we have spent decades being established and believing. We faced it and taken it on the chin for believing things. We've gone into, out of, through, over and under all kinds of ideas, rattled on both extremes and come out the other side. I believe God has established me in my ministry and my people. But now, with a season change, it's time to believe the prophets and prosper. Amen. Establishing is always to come first. Prospering always comes second. This is God's order. He never is behind prospering anyone who isn't ready for a season change. Now, sometimes you'll allow some prosperity to hit you just for you to find out what you do. I'm not too sure how much he has to find out, but sometimes we have to see, well, that was a dumb thing I just did, and then it just sort of fades away. It's funny how we like to grab hold of seasons, especially when seasons look good. We don't let that little good, and it's the wrong time for, he gave you a basket of peaches. I promise you there's an orchard out there. Yeah. I mean, if you want a can, if you go right ahead, make some jelly and preserves and have it on toast and drag this baby out. Go ahead. But I got news for you, there's an orchard out there. So don't, and that goes for the bad times too. Some people get fixated on bad times and they stretch their bad times and start becoming very negative and pensive and almost melancholy and sometimes very inclined to depression and just look for the bad times to continue and keep on. It's not, stop it. It was a season, it was a thing. And it's gonna go, and you're gonna go past it. You've got good in your future. That's what God said. And my friends, if good isn't by grace, then what is it by? Sometimes you get stuck in things you thank God for. I didn't think I'd get stuck in anything that good. Sometimes you get stuck in bad things. You say, my God, how are you putting up? And this is finally beginning to stink for me. Have you ever had that? Lord Jesus, I'm beginning to hate the smell of this baby. And sometimes he does that just so we'll get the stench in our nose and see how bad is. Right. But those are seasonal. They're not supposed to stop you dead in your tracks and wipe you out and cause you to give God a bad name, which is... And the reason actually is in Psalm 102, verse 21. He changes these seasons and sets up good times because he wants you to declare the name of the Lord in Zion. If we can't sing his praises and declare his name in Zion, who is going to? So the good, and good isn't the destiny of everyone who loves God, is so that you'll have something to declare in Zion and something to sing about. Because it's in the declaring and the singing that folks get to really know about God. There are too many dead right preachers, and they're not good adverts. They're not a commercial for good. They are just dead right. And their preaching is without the Spirit. Look, you cannot live for God, honoring geography, timing, and faith, and you have, without getting to know about Him and having something to sing about in Zion and something to declare about the goodness. Let me tell you about the goodness of God. We're not straight or adderous. Who wants to be straightened out all the time? Do I have to know every time I make a mistake? Do I have to hear from you all the time? Well, though, see, this is, you need to go for counseling to a psychiatrist or psychologist, get some pills. The fact of the matter is there's something wrong with you. There's a whole segment of Christianity believes that's the goal. The goal is to straighten out. The goal is to talk about. The goal is to point out and shout out and trouble out. And that's all they ever do. They are specialists in what could go wrong. And they are very naive and ignorant about what can go right.
Right,
true. See, we're called to declare the praises, declare the name of God and sing His praises in Zion. And we've been saying that's where it belongs for years. They're singing the songs of Zion and declaring His name in Babylon in too many places, and it doesn't fit, and it's a messed up sound and message.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to give God credit for teaching us something.
Right.
But to get back to the concept of 2 Chronicles 20:20b, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe His prophets and you'll prosper.
Yeah.
And I believe that. And stop trying to establish yourself to prosper. It won't work. You'll drive yourself mad trying to be right, correct, educated, and God doesn't need smart people in His kingdom. He needs people who will declare His name and His praise in Zion.
Yes.
And some of the most ignorant Christians, some of the most, my goodness me, I don't even know how you could raise your hand kind of Christians, but they're standing in grace and thank God for that, and I'm all for it, and I'm for them, are declaring His name.
Amen.
And His praises, and that is right. The word for us today from Psalm 102 is, the church has been established. It is grounded in the truth. Oh, there's always something to learn, but please don't go off on that tangent again. I'm going to send you to the psychiatrist. Folks, I believe prophetic, it's now time to prosper and believe the prophets.
Amen.
That'll mean stepping out by faith and believing and praising God.
Yeah.
And I also believe that the timing of God is clearly now. As Psalm 102 verse 13 says, yes, the set time has come. For what? Favor. I believe that. That means what was harder is going to become easier. What was beyond your reach is going to be within your reach. What you've tried to do, to be, to accomplish for so long will now start coming to pass on an easier level. I've been praying about, I'm not been feeling well, I've been sick, I've got, it's time now to just walk right into that healing. I'm telling you right here and now, ladies and gentlemen, the season has come. It is now. It is now. And God is calling us to stop trying to establish ourselves. And you don't have to read up on anything else trying to do a little bit of prophetic believing.
Right.
He hasn't called you to be an assessor. He's called you to be a believer.
Amen.
And He's not asking you to believe in you. He's asking you to believe in God.
Yes.
I believe one of the reasons He allows so much of us to be revealed to us is so that we won't believe in us.
That's right.
Stop trying to believe in you. Believe in God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I am convinced that, yes, He says in verse 13, the set time has come. I believe that. And I believe every day bigger and more crazy and outrageous answers and solutions and blessings and favors. I'm telling you here and now, the scepter. It's the season. Pick like crazy. Don't take a little basket. Bring a wheelbarrow.
Amen.
It is time. And God has talked to us so plainly and clearly about this. Get it out of your head. Let it into your heart. Your heart wants to believe.
It
cut it loose.
It does.
Amen.
It does.
Some of you are so blang dang educated, you're worthless. You're bogged down on facts. Get bogged down on faith now.
Hallelujah.
Do something with those facts. There isn't a special reward in heaven for smart Christians. God loves those who believe. He's a rewarder of those who believe. And I wouldn't be talking about Psalm 102 if I didn't know and believe with all of my heart it's a now word.
Hallelujah.
I don't have all the answers, but I do have one. The season has changed.
Amen.
This is the set time.
Thank you, Jesus.
The timing of God is clearly now. As verse 13 says, yes, the set time has God come. God has a set time to bless, and I believe that time is now.
Yes.
During the establishing years, you labor all your life long, often seeing little or no results, because he's establishing you. He's wanting you to catch on to truths and realities.
Yes.
He's wanting you to learn life lessons. Look, it's horrible to lose $2,100. But oh God, $200,000? $2 million? No! I'll tell you what I know. My God, I'd rather learn my lessons in reasonable obscurity.
Yes.
That's
thank
right.
God.
Amen.
Thank God, thank God.
Oh, yes.
God has put on his calendar to open the windows of heaven, to change everything. It's a set time. He determined it before the foundation of the world. It's a set time.
Amen.
And when that happens, and it is the set time, and it is now, everything will be made easy. Doors will open. I believe it's now, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
And you better get off your unbelieving bottoms and run like crazy. Thank God for everything you've ever been through and kept believing for a better day. Now it's all going to turn out for good.
Hallelujah.
It was a necessary time to enlarge you for the good times to come.
Amen.
You have not missed it. You have not been forgotten. Your labor of love will pay off. Faith always has its reward. And I want to say this while I'm right here. Sometimes God has you laboring in something to exercise you, and with a set time, he won't even be doing that with you. It's something else very completely different. Okay, but now I've been laboring, I'm going to put you over here, and that's what's going to happen.
Amen.
Awesome.
Yes.
You're going to be, you know, if you're going to be a faith person, a blessed person, a person prospered by God, you've got to be ready to go with the flow.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to make it work if it kills me, it may. Because that's not what God wants you to do. He'd give you this thing to wear you out, wipe you out, and break your heart. Those crazies are always getting in your way and troubling you. They're necessary to grow you. You are good for me.
Amen.
Thank you for being so unloving and five sandwich lousy eating people. I needed your attitude. I needed your rebuke. And it blessed me, so thank you.
Amen.
Of course, I would like to say, what did it do for you? But I won't. I got blessed. You've got to start changing how you see life.
Yeah.
You've got to start, hey, this is good for me. And until you see how it's good it is for you, you can't go past it.
That's right.
Did you ever like an exam? But all I can say is you better get planning. You're going to bog down where you are. Well, this is what God's going to have me doing for the rest of my life. Phooey! I'm driving this heap. I'm living in that sorry place. Will I receive it, Lord? I'm doing it for you. No, you're not.
Right.
No. You got too attached.
That's it. Amen.
Don't put on roots, buddy. You know, there's nothing more frustrating when you buy a vase of flowers and the suckers start putting on roots. You get that? Some of them do that. Ah, no, 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 you're a flower, and I'll put you someplace else. God has got some big changes when you stop saying, I gotta have this place, I gotta have this thing, I gotta have her, I gotta have him, I gotta, hey, you thought you did.
Right.
Maybe. Just give me that much today? Maybe. You weren't even on the right track. All he was doing was teaching you something. What was he teaching me? I haven't a clue. He wasn't teaching it to me.
Right.
Maybe being real and honest and open to God, you'll see.
Right.
But if you don't, it doesn't matter. Is that your song? Trust him. You know that girl sung that song? That was really sad. Trust him, yeah.
Amen.
Trust him. Trust him. Well, I don't know what, but I'll tell you what. I've been tying some roots. This is crazy, man. I'm trying to tie roots in the wrong season. Put some roots down here. And get some concrete. Get the rebar up, baby. You better get a caravan.
Beautiful.
You haven't missed it. You have not been forgotten. It's a new season. It's the set time. I want to just say again to you, and you go, would you let this in? God has always had a set time to bless you.
Amen.
And the devil's told you you have to qualify yourself for it. You know, all the stuff you've been through isn't qualifying you for it. It's equipping you for it. Mm-hmm. Did you hear the difference?
Yes.
The pressure shears off.
Yeah. Amen.
God has always had a set time to bless you. It was always in his mind. He came up before the world began. He's just preparing you for better times.
That's right.
He's not saying, well, you're not ready, you're not qualified. I do not believe in that kind of language one bit. And you treat your children that way, you will make them the weakest, sorriest, upset people.
Yes, that's true.
God loves Zion. This whole thing is about his love for Zion. But don't you misunderstand the rough times you've been through, the bad decisions you've made, and the problems you've gotten into. Don't you dare misunderstand them. There's the devil's story, and then there's God's story.
Amen.
And don't tell me who was to blame. That's ridiculous. Who cares?
Right.
All over the world, I believe with all my heart, God is stirring in people to raise up churches that will return the glory to Zion. I know they're all of it. I pray every day, my God, thank you for raising up the men and women necessary to build great churches, to draw the people of God back in the house of God in South America,
yep.
Central America, North America, Canada, Europe, Africa, Middle East, Orient, Ireland of the Sea, and my part in these things. God ever broadened my vision. God ever set things up. And it's the set time. I believe it's time.
Amen.
We need some spiritual in the kingdom Donald Trump types that look like Jesus.
Amen.
The devil has set up a religious system here that's got a down pat. He'll guarantee you that every time you read that word church, you'll think of universal, you'll feel of invisible, you'll think of anything but assembly. Try reading that scripture verse again that was troubling you that says church. Try reading it saying assembly. Then you might receive glory in the assembly. Then go back to the fact that ecclesia is a called out people for a specific purpose. That he might receive glory in the assembly who have assembled for a specific purpose. That ain't invisible. That ain't universal. That's where you go to church on Sunday. My
Amen.
God, help me.
Amen.
He was to return the glory to Zion, not to man. We've got superstars. And they're super, they're stars. They're impressive. But that's not what Christianity is about. The only person in the limelight is supposed to be Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I know he has his angels in his hand and he calls them ministers stars, but he's not talking about superstars. He's talking about stars that reflect Jesus. And I'll say this too, and I'm convinced, and I know it's true, he has been doing a special work here in South Florida, raising up a people that we don't even know yet. We can't see their hearts, nor have we met them. You put this back on now. And a church, we haven't seen this church. We don't know where it is, what it is. I don't know where this church is, but it's here. I pray every day, God in heaven, thank you for raising it up, adding and subtracting, leading and guiding, keeping them from bad counsel, giving them good counsel, restraining their finances. He told me that day one. I've been praying that for 11 years. And Lord, putting it in them, to recognize me, receive me, hand me the keys, I'll hand them to the lawyer. He'll set the place up. For opening an effectual door of utterance, no man can shut a generational door. I want to, before I pass, whatever that means, I know it's not a kidney stone, but before I pass, I'm going to see it. I've got a couple of generations in front of me, ready and capable of taking over. I don't care if they have the name Drummond or Fortescue. I want to see that happen. I want elders who will die for the church and not their blasted egos. I want gifted, anointed, fivefold ministry that's bound and determined by the grace of God to see a church built here that's an institution, not just a lovely theater. I believe you set this community up here to receive this and believe in it. I pray for the governors and the mayors, especially in Dania. I pray for the zoning and the permission I'm going to need with the tower. I'm going to put up baby with the cross on top, but it's going to be a blooming high tower. Amen. And I said, we're going to be right near the airport. We'll let them use that. I'll just talk to the airport, show me what I should do to make you happy. You can say, turn at the cross, buddy. That's Christian, isn't it?
Amen.
Turn left at the cross and land, baby. He's set up the people to receive a blessing, to add people daily who are being saved from the north, south, east, west. I believe that right here. And I believe that men and women pray for that all over the world.
Amen.
Where he can show off his glory in Mount Zion. I love it.
Amen.
But if it wasn't so ethnic, I would say Zion, Mount Zion Church. But we'd have to add African Methodist Episcopal and a lot of other things I'm not willing to add. But thank God for those beautiful, lovely people and for what they're doing. And I'm all for it. Those who have been exercised in their faith. And we've talked about that. Not always been right at it, not always succeeded at it, but those who have been exercised.
Amen.
Those exercise something sometimes gives you a bruise, sometimes a strain. Sometimes you have to lie in bed for the afternoon. Sometimes you just have to watch the other guys exercising. It's so very impressive. Thank God. Those have been exercised in their faith. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
Right.
We'll now enter into a new season.
Amen.
An unprecedented time which God has set in motion beginning now. That's the word for us in 2016. Now. Now. But I don't see... change your vision. Use your night glasses. Sometimes it's dark, you can put your night glasses on. That's spiritual vision. You'll see the heat. You'll just go, yeah, it's over there. Aim at that thing and shoot, buddy. You'll get it.
Amen.
I'm going to turn back to Psalm 102, verse 13, and I'm going to close. We're going to pray and dedicate ourselves now and thank God for this wonderful thing. I believe, as Psalm 102, 13 says, you will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. Lord, I believe that. I receive it. I'm going to act differently, live another way. I'm going to say a different thing. I'm going to sing a different song. Because I believe it's time. What was hard is going to become easy. What was beyond me is going to become well within my grasp. Where I hurt, I will feel no more pain. Where I've been sad, I will now be glad. Where it hasn't looked too good, it's going to look great. And I will enter into another man's labor and take the reward. It's my set time, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's my set time, Lord, hallelujah. Say that with me. It's my set time. Say it again. It's my set time. Say it again. It's my set time. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. The set time has come. Hallelujah.